The gospel reading this morning is from the book of John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servants also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Thank you. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The word of the Lord.
Listen to the rhythm. His unfaltering heart of love, beating for his little ones, calling each of us to come. Be still. Be still. Be still.
Praise God, praise God. Be still and know that He is God. What a glorious opportunity God is giving us today in this very hour to gather in His presence, to sing His praises, to hear His testimony of 62 years of marriage. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Theron. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Beth. Thank you, Holly. Thank you, Lucy. Thanks to each of you, and most of all, thank you, dear God, that you allow us to gather in your presence to encourage one another and to learn about His perfect purpose unfolding in our lives. Theron, it was a wonderful passage of Scripture that you shared for us. We're in the fifth Sunday of Lent, a time of preparation to receive the truth of the blessing of the resurrection. A brand new life that God wishes for each of us, that we merely receive through faith, a precious gift of Almighty God. And that scripture, Jesus is foretelling. He's talking to a crowd and He's foretelling His death and His resurrection. I believe to really give it a good context, though, to really give it a base of understanding and help us to understand how this applies to our lives, we have to take a look back at last week and Pastor Tony's message last week about the rising up of Lazarus. Because this is really after that. And in the sequence, as the Gospel of John is written, in the sequence of the events, almost immediately after this extraordinary event had taken place, and Lazarus was raised from the dead, now there were groups that were continuing to follow Jesus, and people were becoming more curious about who He is. Who is this man that is doing the miraculous? Who is this man that is literally calling people from their grave and rising them up? Well, praise be to God. That's the context with which Jesus is saying. Now, the scripture that you read, Theron, began with some Greeks that were in this group, that were in this entourage. And that's significant. Theologians disagree a little bit as to whether they were Gentiles or whether they were just displaced descendants of Jacob from Greece. But the point remains, they were more than curious, and they had seen the miraculous at the rising up of Lazarus. And so they wanted to know, who is this Jesus? And they went through the disciples, the screening process, because they wanted to speak with Jesus, probably wanted to ask questions. Questions that you and I have in our lives this very moment. Who is Jesus? And how does that impact my life right here, right now? That's what they wanted to know. And it's very interesting as we look through this, that much like Nicodemus and Zacchaeus, they asked that question, what must I do to be saved? And I have to tell you, if we were to look at the world today, even our country, that we claim to be one nation under the sovereign power of Almighty God, and yet the schizophrenic way in which we live our lives, we're really not giving testimony to the fact that we know the answer to that question. We're really not demonstrating with our actions that we just not know God, but that we acknowledge Him for who He is. We are asking that same question today. Now, this story, and this is where we get our traction for the lesson today. The sisters sent out a message, a messenger with a message to Jesus. It was urgent. It was a 911. It was in desperation. Their brother was gravely ill. He was dying. And they knew that the only one that could save him would be the healing touch of Jesus. Jesus was in no hurry to respond. And there's a good lesson in that for us, that the Lord does not respond to our timeline, but we need to synchronize our watches to him. We need to patiently wait upon the Lord. Well, the sisters were miffed, angry, and I'm sure really scared. And Jesus was in no rush. And it was 2 days later that he came. Lazarus had already passed. Lazarus was already put in the grave, into the tomb. Now, as we look at this, as the sisters were looking at it from their perspective, Jesus didn't act when they wanted him to act. But had Jesus responded to their timeline, to the urgency of their call, it would have been another healing that may not have even been recorded in the Bible. But because it was on the Lord's time frame, perfect in every way, it is a story that thousands of years later, we still say that God is good, God is faithful, God is righteous, God is true, God is on our side. God can do the miraculous, and that God knows me and knows you by name. Thank you, dear God. That's what Lent is all about. And this passage that Theron read so well, this passage is important because it lays out the urgency for you and me to wait upon the Lord. That's what Lent is all about, is to wait patiently, wait faithfully, wait filled with hope that God is on the throne, that God will reign, and that his perfect plan will unfold. That's exactly what Jesus was saying. He did not agree to a personal meeting with these Greeks that had come there. It was very conspicuous that he disrespected them. We know that God is not a respecter of mankind. And he did not respect their timeline. He did not respect their need at that point. But his message was to all that we need to wait upon the Lord. We need to trust in him with all of our heart, not lean on our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him. Thank you, dear God. And may that be what the Holy Spirit fills our minds and our hearts with in this hour, that we can begin to trust in God with all of our heart. That in this period of Lent, this period of preparation, that God will prepare our hearts, that we will wait on you, dear God, and we will follow you, and we will synchronize our time to yours. New patients, welcome. We need patience. I am a type A personality myself, and I want everything done yesterday. And certainly one of the challenging aspects of my character is I grow very impatient, especially when it comes to other people, when I have to depend upon someone else to get something done. But we need to be patient as we wait upon the Lord. I believe that this scripture that we read this morning, I believe that it speaks to us. And this message for the fifth Sunday of Lent is very important to you and to me. And it's the three aspects of truly waiting upon the Lord. Number one, to affix our eyes upon the Lord and not on circumstances. Oh, that's so hard for us to do. We have this wonderful passage of scripture. I want you to read it along with me. They will have no fear of bad news because their hearts are steadfast in trusting of him. You don't have to worry about what's on the news. You don't have to worry about that phone call. You don't have to worry about the circumstance. You don't have to worry about any of these things that draw our attention away from God. We don't need to look at the storm. We need to affix our eyes to the face of the Master. I love to tell the story of Peter, and it was when shortly after Jesus had preached and given the Sermon on the Mount, and crowds had gathered, and everyone was tired and famished, and the disciples got onto a boat, and Scripture tells us that it went out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee. During the third watch, in the middle of the night, going into the morning, in the middle of that period, at the darkest point, a storm, a waddus, came into the area. And the boat was tossed back and forth, and the disciples were awakened. Now, we know that Jesus remained up in the mountains to pray, to stay continually connected to his heavenly Father. But the storm awakens them, and they're frightened. They're scared to death, much like the sisters were, much like all different stories that we read throughout Scripture, how the people are scared to death. And they were scared because Jesus was not in that boat. And they're calling out, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Lord, Lord." And in the darkness, Jesus comes walking to them on the water. Now, I believe, as a matter of a trivial point, that probably the most rhetorical question asked in the whole of Scripture is Peter looking at this picture, this face of Jesus, and saying, "Jesus, is it you?" Like somehow it would be someone else. But he looks at the face of Jesus and he says, "Jesus, if it is you, beckon me that I might come to you." He realized that he did not have the power to calm that storm. He did not have power to take care of that situation. But he knew that the power that Jesus had would be more than sufficient. He kept his eyes on the face of the Master, and Jesus said, "Come." And he took several steps, got out of the boat, and did the miraculous, did the impossible, the undeniable. And he took several steps on the water. Praise you, God. And then what happened? He hit the default setting. You and I have a default setting, and it's to trust in stealth. And so he took his eyes off of the Master, and we know that he sank like a rock. And literally, Jesus had to reach out to save him. You might be in a storm in your life right now. More than COVID, more than the lockdown, more than anything, you might have a personal situation, a situation of finance, a situation about a relationship, a situation in your walk with the Lord. And it's a storm. And it's in the middle of the night. What we have to understand is that God has already answered that. He's already brought the formula into motion. The miracle is in the process of happening. It's all a part of God's plan, in God's timeline. And dear God, may we trust in you and not in circumstances. May we keep our eyes affixed to you and not to the storm. Because we know with that mustard seed of faith that you will give us the power to take those steps on the water. Praise you, dear God. Who are we that you would have such a burden for every aspect of our life? Acknowledge him. Lucy and I have discovered this summer, and you can teach an old dog new tricks. I turned 65 last August, but God is still changing and helping me to grow and helping me to receive the full account of his blessings. And I remember waking up on a Saturday morning. We had slept in, and I remember waking up and said, "Honey, I don't want to get up just yet because I really feel like the Lord is speaking to us." And what the Lord was saying was to keep our eyes affixed to him. I've always tried to be the problem solver in the family. I've always tried to take care of things ahead of going to God. You know how you really floss and clean your teeth before you go to the dentist? You want to make sure that, boy, you're looking good when you go to the dentist. Well, we have that kind of mentality. We want to get things squared away. We want to get things, boy, I got some things here. I don't want you to see my house messed up. I don't want you to see it in the disorder that it is, God. And I'll be with you in a minute. No. Just as I am, just as we are. And I said that I believe that God is calling us in every little dirty, inconsistent, dark situation that we have in our life that we're to acknowledge God. We're to acknowledge him in the good. We're to acknowledge him in the bad. And we're to acknowledge him in every situation in between. Be still and know that I am God. That is something that I've prayed over my boys Before Eric was born, when Lucy was pregnant with Eric, I began to pray that. And I made it a prayer. It's a command. Be still and know that I am God. But I have prayed that before Eric was born, over his life, over Scotty's life, now over their families' lives and our granddaughters' lives. Dear God, with all of the chaos, and boy, we just run. Help me, dear God, help my family, my children, my grandchildren, and all of our future descendants, our other extended family, our friends, that we could be still and not just know you as God, but use that as the root word to acknowledge you, that we could acknowledge you in our actions, that we could acknowledge you in the things that we say, the things that we do. What a witness that is when we acknowledge God. Number two, to radically commit to the Lord's plan, the Lord's way. not expecting God to sign off on my plan. God, Lucy and I got together, and this is what we think is best for us, so can you just put your John Henry on there for us? No, we won't. But to radically commit to the Lord's plan in the Lord's way. In Deuteronomy, we read, "You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him." Remember, fear is the beginning of all wisdom. "And fear him. You shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, and serve him and cling to him." Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God. It's not a hybrid. It's not so much of me and so much of him. It's not a dial that I'm gonna live my life today, maybe 25% my faith and 75% trusting in him. Or some sort of a variation. It's an on-off switch. You're either dependent upon God and radically committed to his perfect purpose for your life, or you aren't. There's no in-between. Years and years ago, I used to think, when I would be addressing a challenging situation, I would think to myself, well, I have this going for me, and I kind of set my ducks up on the pond, if you will. My mother always used to say that. Set our ducks up on the pond, and I'd have this going for me and this going for me. And then, and God is on my side. And then I would have each and every one of those things that I thought would be my strength be stripped away. God would allow that circumstance or that thing that I thought that I had manipulated and just allow it to be taken away. And all I would have left would be him. That's right. Thank you, dear God. You are sufficient. God is radically committed to fulfilling that plan in our life. That was a word for our family probably 15, 20 years ago, that we need to be radically committed to him because he is radically committed to us. It's not a hybrid, and it's no longer me being a part of the process. But it's submitting. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Another scripture. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he will lift you up. Number three, wait, and this is important now, in faith for the Lord to move. Wait in faith for the Lord to move. This is very much an action sequence. It's not just wait. It's not just turn on the TV. It's not just go about your business, but it's wait in faith that we're believing that God has already started the process to our redemption, has already started the process to redeeming the circumstance, has already started the process of restoring that relationship, has already started the process to our financial welfare, has already started the process to our blessing. All that I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, dear God, unto you and unto me. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, dear God, for who you are. We know that by definition, faith means believing in advance what will only make sense when looking back. And I got to tell you, sometimes not even then. If I can be perfectly honest, there are questions that I have that I can't wait to talk to the Lord about. Why did you allow that situation? I still don't understand. But by faith, I trust and I know that it was for my good. I know that his perfect plan is far better than anything that we could even imagine. Thank you, dear God, for who you are. Now, sometimes people will tell Lucy that they see me, and I say this in closing, that people say that they'll see us walking and they'll see me with my lantern, you know, one if by land, two if by sea. I've had people call me, friends call me Paul Revere when they see me walking at night, one if by land, two if by sea, you know, and people get a kick out of some of the outfits that I wear. And well, if you ever see me driving in the car, and you see me praising God, and I'm, you know, giving the high five to God and raising the roof and stuff like that, if it would have been in the last couple of months, it would be because I'm praising God with a new song, new to me, a new song that I hear on one of the local stations, and it's called Rise Up. And I love this song, and I want to say this in closing to us because it is the most powerful benediction, the words of this song, and it's the story of Lazarus. And what I like about this song is it's three preacher's kids. It's a brother and two sisters. Lucy's a PK. And so we appreciate this, that it's a brother and two sisters that probably sang like Lucy and her sister sang at her father's church. And God has just blessed them in the words of this song, talking about, rise up! You can breathe again. Come out of the darkness. You're alive now. Listen to these words. In the dark and all alone, growing comfortable, are you too scared to move and walk out of his tomb? Buried underneath the lies that you believed. The lie of the devil. Safe and sound, stuck to the ground, too lost to be found. That's a lie. You're not too lost to be found. Praise you, God. You're just asleep, and it's time to leave. It's time to rise up. Come on and rise up. Take a breath. You're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? When he said your name, the thing that filled your veins was more than blood. It's the kind of love that washes sin away. Thank you, God. Now the door is open wide and the stones have been rolled aside. The old is gone, the light has come. So come on and rise up. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? Praise you, God. He's calling us to walk out of the dark. He's giving us a new resurrected heart. He's calling us to walk out of the dark and he's giving us new resurrected hearts. Come on and rise up. Take a breath. You're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? You're brand new. The power of death can no longer hold you. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? Rise up. He's calling you out. So rise up. Get up from the grave like Lazarus. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we are just humble, dear God. As we kneel in your presence to know about your radical, incomprehensible love, reckless, dear God, not keeping an account of all of the wrongs that have been done against it, the times that we've turned our back on you. Thank you, dear God, that you call us out of that grave, that you call us out of that ignorance, that you call us out of that darkness. Thank you, dear God. Praise you, mighty God. And Father God, we just praise you that you allow us to gather in your presence here this morning. And Father, it is appropriate any time that we gather in your presence as your Holy Spirit touches our lives. If any wish to publicly acknowledge you today for who you are as Lord and Savior, while eyes are closed and heads are bowed, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today to acknowledge Jesus as Lord, right where you're seated, just raise your hand. Join me. Just raise your hand. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Thank you, Father. We acknowledge you, dear God, for who you are. We acknowledge you, dear God, as Creator, as Redeemer, and as one who gives us perfect, incomprehensible love. Thank you, Father. We pray your blessing now, dear God, upon our congregation, upon our church family, We ask your blessing to be upon Tony and Dottie, dear God. Melanie and Dave. We thank you, dear God, for the blessing that they are to this church, to our family. And we just pray your blessing to be upon them. We pray your blessing, dear God, upon each and every one of the families that are represented here in this sanctuary or in the sanctuary that is in their home watching this. Thank you, dear God. And gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we just give you all of the praise and the glory for your incomprehensible love in that while we were yet sinners, you sent your Son to die for us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and all of God's people say, amen.